This is Mr. Tolu Balogun. On the Work From Home podcast, I will be teaching you a lot of things you can do to upgrade your skills and be able to run a work from home business successfully. Stay with me and enjoy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another beautiful episode of the Work From Home podcast. I'm so excited to have Rael here with me. Rael was just telling me that he was raised in South Africa, and that's just a few hours away from Nigeria, still on the same continent, but now he stays in Australia. But let's have Rael introduce himself. And you know you're up for a very great time today, actually, because we are talking about business excellence. That's something that we all strive for. We always want to grow bigger. We always want to go better. What are the steps to take to get to that destination where we need to get to as a business? And Rael is going to take us through that experience. So, Rael, please introduce yourself.
Okay, thank you, Tolu. I guess to start at what is excellence? Because that's kind of the question that a lot of people ask. And I define excellence as being the best version of yourself every day, because we can never be perfect. Perfection is something unachievable. So as long as we are excellent, it means showing up as the best version of ourselves in everything we do in life and in business. So that's where I am now in my mid-50s, how I'm positioned. I'm the business excellence guy, and I spend a lot of my life talking to businesses and individuals about their search for excellence in both life and business. So how did that all come about? The quick version of the story: grew up in South Africa, worked 6,000 foot underground on the mines at age 21. I decided after that I did I went to business school, did my master's, my MBA. And MBA is not a way of becoming an entrepreneur, but for me it was a way of teaching me about lots of different things about business. So I started my first business in 1990, the year Nelson Mandela was released. And that's quite significant because my business was in education, primarily aimed at the previously disadvantaged population of South Africa, who were striving for education. You know, with Mandela's release, there was this hunger for education. And so we had 20 students in 1990 and 4,000 students by 1996. Wow. And these were students who never really got a decent mark at school and were desperate to learn something. So we took them through four-year diplomas, which were equivalent to three-year degrees.
Okay.
An opportunity came up in 1996 to reverse list on the stock exchange, and I took that opportunity. Spent 5 years in venture capital, three in South Africa. Moved to Australia, joined a venture fund in Australia in 99, and listed that fund on the Australian Stock Exchange. In 2001, they asked me if I'd move to Sydney, and I live on the West Coast in Perth, which was about 1.2 million people at the time. It's now 2.6, but it was 1.2 million at the time. And I said, I want to raise my kids in a small city, not in a big city. So I decided to stay in Perth. I went out on my own again, started in venture capital, and then ended up starting a financial services business by coincidence. And I think that's the predominant driver of excellence in my life, is that you can't plan for everything. That a lot of people come to me and they go, I'm on spreadsheet number 27 and it says my business might not work. I'm going, that's 26 spreadsheets too many. Okay, you know, you've overthought it. And so that's exactly what happened. I started a business and people said, great, you've raised us money for our business. How do you get us a loan now? And I went, I have no idea, but I'll find out. And so I went and found out that I had to become something called a finance broker. So I became a finance broker. And that business I still own today. The studio that I'm recording this with you from is still in my financial services offices. That business has done more than 3 billion, that's with a B, 3 billion in mortgages since I started out saying 20 years ago, I don't know how to do this. So it's been a fun journey. 7.5 years ago, I was training for a marathon and I ended up having two cardiac stents. I didn't have a heart attack. I dodged that bullet, but I came close. And that taught me how to change my life. It didn't teach me, but it sort of highlighted to me that I needed to do something that I was passionate about. So I had spent the previous 10 years on stage talking about mortgages and finance and retirement to people, and I loved it. And I sold over $1 billion of mortgages from stage. And I went, I want to become a professional speaker. I want to do this for a living. I want to share my ideas with people around the world. And so I transitioned into becoming a professional speaker. In 2019, I became a certified speaking professional. And I split my time between speaking professionally and working in the financial services business. So that's kind of the circle of how I get to where I am today. I wrote a book in 2018. And I did send you the link, but I will repeat it at the end of the podcast again. Mm-hmm. And any of your listeners who want to download it, it's a free book. It's not a free book. I'd love them to go to Amazon and buy it. But I'm also giving your listeners, because they've listened through the whole episode, a free downloadable PDF version of my book. And my book is really what we're talking about today. My book is called Dive In, Lessons Learned Since Business School. And it's about what I did to create excellence over 30 years as an entrepreneur.
You know, there are some things that I've heard from you, and you've talked about a lot of things subtly as you were introducing yourself and telling us about your journey, some of the things you highlighted were the fact that when you let passion drive, it often takes you to your destination faster, and that you can't definitely plan for everything. Sometimes you are just in a position to get help or to get an opportunity. At some other time, you are in a position or you are primarily placed in a place where you can, make do with what you have and then create a solution for those around you. So a lot of things that I've seen there, I also want to assume, based on the information that you've given us, that you have to form a relationship where people can count on you and see you as reliable for them to be able to say, even though, yes, he says he does not know about this and he says he's going to get information on that, he's actually going to do a very great job at that. Those are just some quick things I was able to pick from your brief introduction and, you know, telling us about a bit of your journey.
So a few things here, and I wanted to just go back one step about why my book is called Dive In. So if you look on the back of the book, it says business is not complicated, business is simple. Just dive in and adjust your course as you're moving along. And so that's the mission. That's what I want to explain to people around the world, is that yes, you have to find relationships with people, you have to find mentors. And you know, how do you know? And do you have a mentor for life? No, you don't. You know, I've had mentors at different points in my life that have mentored me for a very short period, for 3 months or 6 months. The big thing is you have to be open to being mentored. Now, a lot of people who are natural entrepreneurs are the worst people to mentor because they know everything. You can't tell them anything. And so right today, as a facilitator, and I run strategy sessions and leadership sessions with a lot of people, when I do that, one of the things that I do is I have to bring people into the conversation so that I'm giving them advice without sounding like I'm giving them advice.
Okay.
Because... The average entrepreneur, the average person who's really, you know, focused on their success and their excellence just needs to get out of their own way sometimes.
True.
Okay. You know, they have to get out of their own way and then they can become successful. And so sometimes they need a mentor just to tell them to get out of their own way. And other times they need a mentor who tells them how to solve their marketing problem or doesn't tell them, helps them solve it. Because the difference between a coach and a mentor is a coach tells you how to do it and a mentor helps you find the solution from your own resources.
Okay.
And so so every mentor that I've had in life, and some of them I only acknowledged years later. That's the sadness of arrogance, okay? Of being young and arrogant, is that it took me a long time in life to be able to acknowledge the people around me that really helped me.
Awesome. So one quick question I would want to ask, since you are talking about entrepreneurs already, is this. Entrepreneurs, as you said, you mentioned something, a phenomenon now, you said there are some people that are natural entrepreneurs. Now, that takes me to want to ask this question. Looking at the fact that you also said you went to business school to do MBA and it did not necessarily teach you how to become an entrepreneur. So the question now is this, are entrepreneurs born entrepreneurs or are they actually made entrepreneurs?
Okay, so it's an interesting question. I don't think everybody has the ability to be an entrepreneur. I don't think everybody has the ability to step out and get out of their own way, okay? But I do think that that part of it is imposter syndrome, and that's a whole different conversation we can go down. That even when I wrote my book, okay? So I wrote this book. And when I wrote the book, I wrote it and then put it away for 2 years because I didn't think anybody would want to read it.
Wow.
Okay. So even though I'd been successful and I'd listed companies on 2 stock exchanges, I got to this point where I said, no one wants to read what I have to say. You know, yes, I speak on stage and people go, wow, that was great advice, you know, about being excellent. So I, you know, things that are in the book, but things that I speak about, like giving up control to gain control. How do you gain control of your own life, but give up control of other things in your business? And there's a whole technique around that. But when it comes down to it, I think most people could be entrepreneurs. And in fact, a very good friend of mine in Singapore wrote a book called The 50-60 Something Entrepreneur. Because she was talking about people in their 50s and 60s who've been made redundant from work and want to start a business. Mm. And they don't know how to start a business because they've been in the corporate world their whole lives.
All their life, true.
Okay. And so I think, you know, I think there are those who, the true entrepreneurs, I think, in the world, are those who are driven to be their own boss and driven to do good in the world. You know, we can get into the moral side of it, but you know, those who want to do good, who want to, you know, I teach companies to make sure that they define their product as what problem are you solving and are people prepared to pay for that solution? You know, if you don't answer those two simple questions, then you don't have a business. Mm-hmm. I think that the entrepreneur, the true core value of an entrepreneur, you know, down here in the heart, is someone who believes they have a solution that people will pay for. And they want to change the world to be a better place, right? The other people who are made redundant or, you know, or furloughed or from work and are suddenly going, oh my God, what am I going to do now? That's different. They're not driven, I think, by the entrepreneurial spirit. They may become good business people. But I think inherently, yes, entrepreneurs are, to answer your question in simple terms, I think entrepreneurs are born, but I think everybody, if they were put in a position where they had to be entrepreneurial, could do it.
Okay.
Talking of the MBA, I came out of an engineering background. I have 2 master's degrees. One of them is in engineering and then the MBA.
Okay.
As a highly technical person, you know, engineering was maths and science and physics and all those other things. Coming into business, I didn't know anything about people or human resources or economics or anything like that. So the MBA taught me a little bit about those things, enough to understand how to be in business. But it didn't teach me to be an entrepreneur. That was in my blood. My first business started at 14. So for me, it's in my blood.
Awesome, awesome. So one of the things you said that I really owe there is the fact that you said the true entrepreneurs start from the heart. They have a passion for solving a problem and a problem that people will be willing to pay for. So that takes me now to the very next question. I know the title of this episode is business excellence. So, and you've already given us the definition of excellence. What are some of those principles or practical ways that entrepreneurs need to start doing today to be able to reach or attain business excellence? And I'm sure you probably have that in your book, Dive In.
I do. my book is a whole series of stories, and so, but I'll take some of them and some ideas. So, the first is ethics. All right. So, to be ethical, to be an ethical person, to make sure that whatever business you're in, you draw a moral line in the sand, and you stick to it. All right. Now, that's hard because. And I go to an extreme when working with businesses now, because I classify, because a lot of people, when you start a business, you want every customer. You don't really mind if they're not quite aligned with what you want to do, because you need the money. You know, at the end of the day, there's a level of desperation that people need money. So, so if you take that out of the equation, once you're more successful and you've got customers and clients, you know, the first thing is you need to draw your ethical boundaries.
Sure.
You know, what will you and won't you do? And when you've done that, you can then actually get rid of customers, which sounds like a really stupid strategy, but it's actually a clever strategy. Mm-hmm. You get rid of your customers who don't make you happy and don't give you happiness and waste a lot of your time. And you look for more customers who make you happy and don't, and you know, and give you good dollars, you know, at the end of the day. So that, but that's all based around this ethical framework, drawing the ethical line in the sand, okay? And obviously excellence, ethics and culture, in my opinion, are the two cornerstones of business excellence, okay? But then there are simple things in my book that I speak about, like, never ask your staff to do anything that you wouldn't do. Now, what does that mean? I mean, everyone says, oh yeah, I'm never going to ask staff to do something I wouldn't do. I'll take an extreme example. In my offices here in Perth, the men's toilets were, how do I describe it, pretty stinky, okay? And so I got my assistant to go and order some nice smelling stuff that went in the urinals.
Okay?
It's a terrible story to tell on air, but you'll get the picture in a minute. The day it arrived, I went and put on a rubber glove, took the bucket of the stuff that smells nice, well, makes the toilet smell nice, and I walked around and I called every man in my office. I had about 10 or 12 men working in the office at the time. And I took them all to the toilets, which they thought was a bit strange, but took them all to the toilets, and I showed them how we put these things into the toilets. You know, I've never had to do it in 7 years since I did that. Okay, because they knew that I was prepared to do it, and so therefore I empowered them to do it. So it's about, you know, my staff, I don't do in the finance side, I don't do a lot of loan processing anymore, but I can. And so I would never ask the staff to do anything that I wouldn't do, even though I don't do it anymore. I think that's a key, because why is that important as an entrepreneur? Well, as an entrepreneur, you're the one who's the most passionate about your business, and about, if you want, you know, who's the best salesman in your business, it's going to be the person who started the business.
Sure.
Until you find some real hotshot salesman who thinks they know more than you. But in the startup phase and the first few years, the best salesman, the best representative of your business is you. So in order to optimize your time and your efficiency, you want to be out there doing the stuff you're good at, which is selling. And you want to leave the admin to somebody else. Now, obviously, when you start a business, you do everything. But at some point, you give away. And that's the other principle I said, give up control to gain control. Give up control of those admin tasks that you've always done and focus on doing the things you're good at, which is generating money for the business. Because that's how the business will grow and succeed and be more excellent.
Well, that's awesome. You know, you not only showed your staff that you can do it, which is leading by example, you also averted a lot of probable gossip or trying to feel like the boss is mean, and a lot of things you've averted by that simple action of going there and not having to always repeat yourself that people have to keep the men's toilet clean and make it also smell nice. And that is a really solid example and spot on what you said about the entrepreneur being the perfect, the most important salesman. And because nobody can understand your product as much as you do, you are the one who had the thought process. You are the one that understood or understands the angle at which you are servicing your client. There can be 100 people who help businesses finance themselves, but you are the only one who understands the approach that you use to get things done. And we can as well try to explain that to a lot of people, but I don't think that people would understand that enough. I'm saying this because, you know, as a content marketer, which is what I do, there was a client I was bringing on about 2 weeks ago. And then, I don't know, the former social media managers she has worked with in the past, but there was a question she asked me. She was like, now that you are handling my social media, will I be able to post content, or will I always have to go through you? I was like, no, you don't have to go through me. You are free to post whatever you are going to post, because there is only one person that understands this business better than me. It is you. And whatever I'm trying to do is based on the information that you are giving me. So I can only market or try to present your business based on the information you give me. And there will be a difference between when you post and when I post, because you sound more authentic. You know what you're saying. I'm like second fiddle to you. But with time, I would be able to, you know, catch up. But the early stages, which you rightly said, I'm sure people that usually follow her very well will be able to notice a slight difference in tone from when she's posting and when I'm posting. Businesses, the originality of the business, as you said, is with the entrepreneur. I'm very happy with the fact that you mentioned that it has to do with the ethics and culture, the workplace culture, the culture that people have to embody in the workplace here, as you rightly said. So let me ask one more question. Are there some business principles that can strengthen or reinforce businesses?
Yeah, I mean, they are, and I'll use another one. So I believe in keeping everything simple. So, you know, a lot of people, particularly those who leave a big corporate job, a big bank or something like that, mm-hmm. they try and make their business complicated, all right? So I'll use the financial services group, my business. We used to have, all my staff used to have somewhere between 30 and 40 clients that they were dealing with on a daily basis. And so they'd have a pile of 30 or 40 files on their desk.
Wow.
And I looked at this the one day and I went, the problem with that is twofold. One is all they do is they put the easy files on the top, and then they get to the end of the day and they go, I'm going home. And tomorrow they do the easy files again, and the hard ones stay on the bottom. And so I put a whiteboard, simple whiteboard, next to everyone's desk. And I said, take that pile of 40 files and divide it into 5 piles of 8. And write down those 8 names on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So there was a few reasons for doing that. One is, now when they walk in the morning, they go to a shelf on the bookshelf and they take out the 8 files for Monday. A, they're not overwhelmed. Okay. B, they open the first file and they go, it's Tolu's file. Okay, let me phone the bank. And they'll send you an email saying, by the way, the banker said they'll come back to us on Thursday. They take your file and they put it on the shelf marked Thursday, and they write your name in the column for Thursday. Now it's out of their head. It's cleared from their thing. Psychologically, they now only have 7 files to deal with on their desk, not 40. But the simple system is that these files got spread out. There's a visual representation. Because let's say that on Tuesday, the bank calls and says, oh, we want to talk to you about Tolu's file. Well, easy. They look at their whiteboard. They go, oh, it's on Thursday. Let me go and get it off the Thursday pile and deal with it on Tuesday. Doesn't matter. So it simplified their filing. They could find everything they were working on, but they never felt overwhelmed because the system was so simple to implement. And a lot of people try and overcomplicate their processes day one. Okay? If you can't explain the way your business works on one sheet of paper, it's too complicated. That's what I teach businesses every day, is explain your business in one page. If you can't do that, rethink what you're doing.
I really can't remember the name of the book, but there's an audio book I'm trying to listen to now, one of the books I have in my library. It's called One Piece Marketing or something like that. I really can't remember. Definitely validates what you're saying. The fact that you don't have to have like a 15-page business plan or whatever. That is also one of the things I try to do when I'm creating a marketing strategy for businesses. I will start by creating a one-page business plan, marketing strategy. So everything that we are going to do, I compress it into one page. So you have that. And even without going through the details that I write after that, you have a good understanding of what I'm going to be doing to help your business grow. And then if you now choose, you can then go and go through the details. So I believe, as you rightly said, it simplifies the process. It takes off that mental block of, oh my God, I have this whole lot of stuff to do. And another thing I want to add to what you said is, if I have 8 stuff to do and I complete that stuff, the 8 stuff with before launch, for example, I feel so excited, I feel so empowered. I can then decide, you know what, I have some 8 files I have to deal with tomorrow. If I finish them right away, right now, and I think I can because this is just before launch, I can as well have a better day at work tomorrow. So I go to the next day's files and then I feel like, you know, tomorrow I can use it for other stuff that will also help to simplify my work better, or I can use it to learn more stuff and build up myself to become more valuable at this workplace. So I can go do some more research that would also help to amplify the effect of what is being seen at my work. So the mental effect that you have been able to build by helping your staff simplify the process has so many benefits, and I mean, that is so awesome. It's one of the things I strive to do also. And you know, just yesterday I was telling my wife that, you know, I think I've simplified my work up to the point where I can easily take on more clients. I can look at myself and say, okay, I've got this much done. Like, for example, Mondays I schedule a lot of social media posts for the week. So all that is left for me to do is just engaging with the people that are on the page. And this probably takes me about 2 to 3 hours every day. So once I've scheduled all the posts for the day, I only have about 3 hours to work each day for the rest of the week. I can then use the remaining time to go through my audiobooks, go through the marketing, my podcast, or any other thing I think I need to do to add more value back to the business. And this really helps so much, so well. And I want to appreciate you so much for coming on the Work From Home podcast, sharing your expertise, sharing your knowledge. And I want to also remind people that Rel is someone who has been able to help people build businesses. He's not a 6-figure, 7-figure. You're talking about the billions. And if he has an opinion, I think you should take it seriously. He has a book that is for sale on Amazon. He's offering it to you for free, the PDF version, just because you have listened to this podcast. I want you to go through the show notes, click on the link, download it. And if you find it valuable, which I'm sure you will, don't hesitate to also buy the hard copy if you love to have the hard copy. And I would also advise that you recommend this book to other people who would find it valuable. Don't forget that these are lessons from someone who has 2 masters. These are lessons by someone who has helped a lot of people simplify their business process. These are lessons from someone who can help you attain that excellence that you need in business without sacrificing so much of your time for it. And don't forget that he's also available to take calls. So if people want to reach you, real quick, how do they get in touch with you? Work with you. I don't know if you mentor or coach people also.
No, the best way to get hold of me is either at railbricker.com, send me an inquiry off the website, or on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, less so on other socials, but very active on LinkedIn, railbricker, R-A-E-L. And as I said, off my railbricker.com website or the excellencepodcast.com website.
Okay, awesome. So don't forget to also check out this podcast. That's one thing I forgot to mention. Subscribe to the Excellence Podcast and share it also with your friends, with your fans, with people in your company, and with other entrepreneur friends that you have. We know we all strive for excellence. We also always want to get better. And he has a value that is given back to the world for free on the podcast. And I don't want you to take that value lightly. I don't want you to take it for granted. I, as a person, I'm definitely subscribing to his podcast because I also want to be able to build up myself and become a better person and also strive for excellence without having to, you know, work all the hours during the day. And, I mean, don't forget one thing. The fact that you are saving time for yourself does not mean that you are doing mediocre work for your clients. You are still delivering excellence in everything you do. So don't see saving strategies that help you save time as an escape route, deliver mediocre work. You always have to be your best every single time. You always have to deliver excellence. Don't forget, it's all about business excellence and simplifying the process for you so you don't get to break down.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what it is. It's about, you know, people talk about life-work balance. I use life-work balance, not work-life balance. I think when you're at 49, you face, you know, some life-changing events and have two stents in your heart. You also understand the balance between life and work. And, you know, we all strive to get there. And part of it is being showing up as the best version of ourselves and being excellent.
Awesome. So thank you guys for listening. Don't forget that next week will be another awesome time. I'll have another awesome guest with me in studio. And don't forget, connect with Rael on LinkedIn, connect with him on the website, download his book, the free version, go on Amazon. The link to buy the book on Amazon will also be here. And, you know, keep becoming excellence, and also subscribe to the Excellence Podcast, as I am going to do also. So thank you very much, guys. Have a very great week ahead. Bye.
Thank you.